From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
HEE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. This is a very weird mix-up you're doing, John. I'm a little freaked out by it, to be honest with you. 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like. You're good to go. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler. At AJ is the real. At John Snow with a 0, not an O. At Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And if you miss the first hour, a lot of Santa Claus talk, some Jesus talk, and Satan's penis. And Christopher Harris on fantasy. D says, I feel a horror movie involving Santa. I'm sure that's been done. I always wanted to do a Satan Claus character. I'm sure somebody's done that. It's too obvious.
I think maybe that's like Krampus.
Perhaps so. Before we go through the NFL lines, I'm going to jump back on the horse here. I like Idaho plus 16.5 tonight.
Okay.
Colorado State's better than they are, but...
Yeah, Colorado State's going to win.
But Idaho is at home. They play really good defense, so they should keep the score down a little bit. And it's up to 16.5, so... Nah, it's not a huge play. It's just...
Good for you. You're back in the saddle.
Just dip my toe back in the water here.
I got punished last night. I thought Syracuse was going to wreck St. John's.
Yeah.
I gave 13 points. And... I could have been plus 13 and lost. St. John's just destroyed that team. I don't know what was wrong with Syracuse. I was just watching that game thinking, this can't be real, what I'm watching.
It's kind of what I felt the other night.
Yeah.
How the hell is this happening? But it did. All right, we'll zip through the NFL.
Yeah, but you bet a dog.
Yeah, I did.
I bet a big favorite who got treated like a dog.
That's a worse feeling, I think.
Yeah.
But, all right, we'll go through the NFL lines here. But in honor of the Christmas special... These are Santa Claus's picks.
Ho, 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 ho.
Exactly. You don't even have to sit on his lap.
Yes, you do.
Unless you're really hot.
Everybody
26
does.
26 to 34-year-old female. Then you can come sit on Santa's lap. All right. Giants and Eagles now, I pick them. This line has moved all over the place. Giants were like three-point favorites. Then in some places it was Eagles minus 1.5. Now it's a pick 'em. What the hell's going on with this line, AJ?
I honestly don't know. I don't have an answer for that. But I'm interested to see this game tonight. I feel like it should be obvious, the Giants, but...
But that's what makes me...
It makes me want to bet the Eagles.
Yeah. Well,
it'll probably just make me stay away. You know how I feel about these Thursday night games anyway.
Yeah. Redskins minus 3 at the Bears. I kind of like the Bears to cover here.
I like the Bears, too. The Redskins, they've fallen apart.
It's a short week for them, too.
Yep, and I like what we've seen. I like what we've seen at a quarterback for the Bears in the last couple weeks. And Jordan Howard's running really well. Alshon Jeffrey looks like he didn't miss a beat. He's back and actually probably looks better because he got some time off.
Yeah,
and the Redskins secondary is a total mess. I like the Bears, too.
Dolphins plus 4.5 at Bill. This one's interesting because I saw a story today that actually lays out how the Bills could make the playoffs. It's like 1%.
Yeah, it's a long shot.
Yeah. But I think I would take the Dolphins in the points here. 4.5 outside of 3. I think I like Miami.
I think I do, too. I think that Rex Ryan's still coaching for his job. Which makes me think they'll have that motivation, but 4.5 just seems like a lot of points. I mean, you're basically saying that neutral field, the Bills are better than the Dolphins, and I don't know if that's true.
And maybe they are, but I think the Dolphins are better with Matt Moore at quarterback. I'll take the Dolphins there. Buccaneers plus 3 at the Saints. I really have no opinion on this game because that line's exactly where it should be, but I like the over 52.5.
You like the over on every Saints game.
Pretty much. It's been money all year.
I'm not sure about it because the last Saints-Bucks game was a complete disappointment if you liked the over.
And this time, I think this time it'll be exactly what it was supposed to be, especially indoors at New Orleans.
I would think so, but that's if I had to make a play, I think I like the Bucks there. The Bucks are a little bit better than I thought, and the Saints are the Saints. They're done. But the Bucks actually still have something to play for.
Panthers plus three at home against the Falcons. I think I'll take the Panthers here, but the Falcons overs have been money this year too. It's another one.
I like the Falcons a lot against the Panthers this week. I think the Falcons are starting to finally hit their stride. They look like they overcame they had the hot start and then they had the mushy middle. And I think they're getting back into that.
Yeah, except look who they played the last couple of weeks. They basically have had the worst teams in the league thrown in their face.
I got to tell you, Carolina's not far from one of those.
No, but they're better than those guys are. Minnesota plus seven at Green Bay. I don't see the Vikings as being much of a factor in this game. I don't like giving seven, but...
Yeah, that's tough. I honestly think I would take the points if I had to, but I don't have to. It's not right. A play for me. Minnesota's quit. Yeah, I mean, you talk about a team that had the hot start. They had the mushy middle, and then they just kept getting mushier and mushier. That's the Vikings. They went from being a team looked at as maybe the best in the NFC to they're not making the playoffs. So that's a real disappointing second half of the season for them. And at this point, I don't think they're playing for much.
Patriots minus 16.5 against the Jets. The Jets are one of those teams. There's almost no number you can give me that would make me bet on them, but I'm damn sure not giving 16.5 no points way. In the NFL either. So if you have to take one side,
it's the Jets. Don't bet on the Jets, though.
Titans minus five at Jacksonville. I thought this number might actually be a little higher because I kind of want to take Jacksonville here.
You were hoping to catch a touchdown?
I was hoping to catch a touchdown, yes.
Yeah, I like the Titans plus five or minus five. That I'm with you. That number's I was expecting six and a half.
Yeah, maybe seven.
I'll take the Titans and give five. Tennessee's a good team.
This is where if they're gonna ever lose the Jaguars in a game like this, this is gonna be where it happens. I think the coaching change. And there were a lot of guys that didn't like Gus Bradley on that team, so maybe they're motivated to play. Now, if Blake Bortles plays like he's been playing, it doesn't matter. Titans have to be looking ahead a little bit. You know, classic sandwich game, I think, if it's ever going to happen. And if I think they have a chance to upset them, then I think they can cover five, but I'm not playing it.
Jacksonville would also be costing themselves draft position. What are you doing? You're not trying to win now. I don't know what he talks about it, but you know that these guys call down and they say, listen, we don't need to go balls to the wall here.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not going to hurt them that much. They're not catching the Browns or the 49ers.
That's true.
So, San Diego minus six at Cleveland. Boy, this is not a game I would touch either the way the Chargers have started.
Yeah, the Chargers have melted. You can't bet on Cleveland.
No.
I mean, gun to head, I guess I would take the points, but no one's put a gun to my head and said bet the Chargers-Browns game, luckily.
Kind of with you on that. Colts plus 3.5 at Oakland. I like the Colts here. I like the way they've been playing. Other than that Texans game, they've been excuse me, they've been really good. I'll take the Colts plus 3.5.
I think I'm with you on that. I like the Raiders, but the Colts, you're right, the Colts have been playing very well. And if there's anybody who can take advantage of, or any way to take advantage of the Raiders, it's in the secondary. I think Indianapolis has what it takes to do that. Will they do it? I don't know. I don't think they're playing for much either. Their playoff hopes are basically gone, but I do think they get I think they at least keep it close.
Here's a game you couldn't pay me to bet. San Francisco plus four at LA Ram.
My goodness.
Now, you imagine the Rams being a four-point favorite over anybody?
Well, listen, at least they figured out to stop making the 49ers favorites over these other bad teams. For the longest, the 49ers, I mean, who are the 49ers favored over? The Bears?
The Bears, yeah.
I mean, come on, guy. The 49ers are a mess. The Rams are a mess, but the Rams are pretty good on defense. They suck on offense, and I do think I'm not in the Todd Gurley's going to blow up this week camp. But I think Todd Gurley's going to run on this 49ers team. I think I'd give the points if I had to bet on that game.
Okay. Seattle minus 7.5 at home against Arizona.
Man, that half point makes me not want to touch it. Arizona's done. They're out. They've quit. Seattle's still playing for home field. I don't bet against the Seahawks in Seattle anyway, but I'm not looking to give that extra half point, honestly.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. And finally... Cincinnati and Houston now a pick'em on here.
What'd that start at?
I don't remember what it started at, but it's moved quite a bit.
Man.
I think it all depends. If somehow Jacksonville wins, I'd jump all over Texan in that game. If they don't, I'll be all over Bengal. Because it's not going to mean anything to the Texans.
It doesn't. I mean...
So I think you have to wait and see what happens in the other game before you... Because, frankly, I'd probably throw Brock Osweiler out there if...
No.
If the Titans win.
Then you've just got to... I mean, if anything, you need to get Savage some reps and, you know...
Yeah, but I don't want to get him killed because you know he's going to break it somewhere.
Yeah. Man, I don't know. I honestly think the Texans pull off no matter what. And I think if I had to lean one way, I'd lean to Cincinnati.
I don't think they're going to pull off if the... What do you think's easier, beating the Bengals at home or going on the road to beat the Titans?
That's definitely easier, but you have to do both.
No, you don't. Not if the Titans lose.
Everybody keeps saying that. If the Titans lose. The Titans are beating the Jags. The Jags suck.
They do suck, but...
They're horrendous.
But
just because they played a close game last week, that's on the Texans. No, that's not on anybody else.
But you're sitting there basically saying that, the Texans won't show up either way. No, if the Titans somehow lose that game, absolutely they're going to show up.
Okay.
Yeah, that's nonsense you're saying.
I'm saying, I think nonsense is saying the Jaguars are going to win the game. That's the nonsense.
Look, it's like a 2% chance.
Okay.
But if it's going to happen, I think this is the week it would happen.
Jaguars haven't won since October 16th.
No, they haven't. They're a bad football team. I think the Titans win the game, but I also think, I've already explained several times why I think if it's going to happen, this would be when it does. I don't think it will, but you also can't just dismiss the possibility that that game might mean something for the Texans. That's why I don't think you can play it until after you see what happens.
I think that's fair, but I think there's such a low percentage chance that the Titans lose.
Oh, I agree. Less than 5% was what I would do if it were still What Are the Odds Wednesday, which we only get to do an hour and a half of What Are the Odds. So Steelers minus 5.5 against the Ravens. That's a big number.
That's too big. I'll take the Ravens. Yeah. I think the Steelers probably win.
Yeah, I think the Steelers win, and I think I can see some scenarios where the Steelers crush them. But I can't give 5.5 points.
Now, here's the other thing. I also am not really looking to bet on the Ravens because Jimmy Smith was out of practice again today. And you know how I feel about that Ravens.
Well, and that's where you have to, I think, another one. You might have to wait till the last minute.
Yeah.
If he's not going to play, I might like Steelers 5.5.
I think I might, too. If Jimmy Smith is not playing, I think the Steelers probably wrecked that team.
Because you can't go out there and triple coverage Antonio Brown in that case.
If Jimmy Smith plays... Even if he's not 100%, I'll take 5.5 points. If he's not on the field, though, I think the Steelers are going to kill him.
Denver plus 3.5 at Kansas City. That half makes me want to take Denver. That number should be 3.
Yeah.
I say the half, I'll take Denver. I'm not betting any of these, by the way.
Yeah, I like Kansas City. I don't want to give up that half point. But I just can't trust Denver to stay close. I just don't know what Denver is. I don't know what their motivation is anymore. I don't know.
I'm still trying to figure out how Kansas City lost that game last week. But that's how they're...
Well, Tennessee, like I said, Tennessee's pretty decent.
They are, but they turned the ball over 3 times. They got them down 17-3. Somehow they let them back in the game. Denver can do the same kind of thing that Tennessee did.
Hell, how'd Kansas City lose to the Texans?
Well, that one I don't know either. So if they can lose to those teams, they can lose to the Broncos. Or not cover the 3.5. Detroit now plus 7.5 at Dallas.
I'll take the Lions.
Yeah,
there. I don't think the Cowboys haven't looked the same the last couple weeks. I mean, part of it is they've clinched. I mean, they don't have to be crushing everybody. Lions are still fighting for the playoffs. I'll take the Lions.
The only game I know for sure I'm going to play. Well, I've got two plays. I'm going to take the Bears plus 3 at home. And I'm going to take the over on Bucks Saints, and I'm leaning over Falcons Panthers.
Okay.
That's it.
I don't know what I'm going to do yet.
I'm not sure.
I don't know if I'm sold on anything yet. The Lions plus 7.5 is probably the closest thing I am to sure thing on.
Yeah, I'll probably play that one too, but it's too early for me to decide. That's a problem.
You can't move on it as if it's already been played.
No, I can't. But that outside of 7 makes it really tempting. All right, we're going to take a quick break.
The other under 43 tonight I'll be on. Just because I've blindly been going under on every Thursday night game.
I think that's a good play.
And it's been making me money, so I'll just stick with that.
You know what? I'm going to do a cheap little parlay with that and Idaho plus 16.5.
There you go.
How's that? All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. The window at the-
that stone.
My sister will be suspicious.
Gosh, your lips are delicious.
My brother will be there at the
waves
door.
Waves on a tropical shore.
My maintenance mind is vicious.
ESPN 97.5.
Attention to...
Listen to your favorite ESPN 97.5 show on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app for iOS or Android. Now back to the Blitz with Fred and AJ.
And we are back on the Blitz. Just got an email. I'm not sure what to make of this. It says, AMC Theaters welcomes you. Sundance Cinemas is now part of AMC Theaters.
So your local independent theater is now
part
owned
of
by a mega theater?
Says, we're thrilled to announce that Carmike Cinemas and Sundance Cinemas are now part of the AMC family, and we're so excited to start this new chapter together. As long as they don't take away the beer.
I watched, last night I went to a movie.
Yeah, what'd you go see?
Passengers.
Oh, I saw an advertisement for that.
It's got Chris Pratt and... Jennifer Lawrence.
Yeah.
It's a decent movie, but I told my wife this on the way out, and she agreed. About 20 minutes into the movie, you can basically predict the entire rest of the movie, item for item, what's going to happen, and it does.
I hate that.
Yeah.
Because then you only need to stay for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And you don't really want to pay $8 for 20 minutes.
Yeah. My wife made me stay... because she thought maybe there was a chance Jennifer Lawrence was going to get nude, but she didn't. Like, well, she got naked, but it never showed boobs, so.
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
Have both of them gotten so big to where they're just doing it for the money? Because Chris Pratt and both
they're
stars.
They're super mega stars, yeah.
Yeah, now they are. And when they were, you know, just a couple years ago, Jennifer Lawrence was making some good movies, and so was Chris Pratt. So I don't know.
I don't know either. I mean, it's a decent movie. It's not trash.
Chris Pratt has to be...
It's just predictable.
He has to be in the megastratus, Guardians of the Galaxy and that damn dinosaur movie.
Jurassic World.
Jurassic World, yeah. So...
I think she's a bigger star than he is.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was in that Hunger Games. Yeah. That's like the biggest thing in... I mean, that's like Star Wars level big, damn near.
There's that one movie that she was doing with Bradley Cooper. I forgot what that one movie was.
Oh, Silver Linings.
Yeah, Silver Linings Playbook. That was actually
a good
really
movie.
Good
That is
movie.
A good movie.
Yeah,
she was great in that.
It's kind of a chick flick, but it's a good movie.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got just enough guy stuff in it, though. Like
all
betting.
That betting?
Well, I'm in,
like betting, yeah.
I'm in touch with my feminine side. You guys aren't.
Oh, no, I hate chick flicks.
Yeah.
I got no use for them.
I'm all right with it.
I don't have a feminine side, sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
I guess I hate chick flicks. It's
but you liked that one,
yeah, because it had gambling in it. See, but there's other movies where they've tried that. Like Jerry Maguire is a chick flick. Period.
Oh yeah,
and they try to disguise it as a sports movie.
That's not a sports movie.
No, it's not a sports movie. It's not even close.
But do you like it?
No, I don't.
Okay. I think it's a pretty decent movie.
I think it's awful.
Maybe a little overrated.
Yeah,
but I'm not a big Tom Cruise guy. Like, Tom Cruise is
I like him
imminently punchable to me.
He is, although I like him in the right roles.
Like Top Gun?
Yeah, where he played the gay pilot. That was that was okay.
He was super believable in that role.
Oh, absolutely. He and Val Kilmer both.
Because you can't be really tall to be a pilot.
Right.
He's short.
Yeah.
And you can't be straight to be a gay pilot.
Right.
So that was the role he was built for, really.
But, The one that they just did the sequel to, and I'm blanking on it, where he plays the former spy. He's pretty good in that one.
Was it Jack Reacher?
Jack Reacher, yeah. I enjoy.
I never watched those.
Although the thing, the only thing that's unbelievable is in the Jack Reacher books, he's like 6'6", 250. And
so it's the complete opposite.
Yeah, he's a little dude, but I like him in that role.
That's how I felt about Wonder Woman. I like the chick they picked to play Wonder Woman, but she's supposed to be like a giant.
You know,
Wonder Woman's like an Amazon woman, and you know she's smaller than Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck is supposed to be really tall. I think he's like 6'5".
I don't know.
Like, yeah, Henry Cavill's, I think, like 6'3", and Ben kind of towers over him.
Well, he's wearing bat boots.
Yeah. And,
Ben Affleck's 6'4". Okay.
Which means it's probably like an athlete, though. He's probably 6'2". If he's listed at 6'4".
Henry Cavill's 6'1". Man, Casey Affleck, who, A, not as good of an actor as Ben, B, not as handsome as Ben, C, 5'9".
Oh, he got all the bad
What a jip.
Which Baldwin is that the equivalent of being?
That's like being, I think that's like Stephen.
Yeah, probably fair.
Although Stephen Baldwin is like, I think Alec Baldwin's estranged from those brothers because they all hate him because he does Trump on Saturday Night Live. And like the rest of the Baldwin brothers, like Billy and Stephen are all staunch Trump guys. So it's like a big rift in the family.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, now you know.
I hope you weren't saving that for Hoffman on Hollywood.
I was not.
Good.
I've got a whole nother thing for that.
All right. For the 400 people who keep asking about the line movement with the Giants and the Eagles tonight, we're going to have RJ Bell on at 5:30. We're going to ask RJ because I have no idea why it's moving. RJ will have an answer because he has an answer to everything. However, I do have an answer to the most important question. What do you want to drink? Whitmire's. And guys, if you haven't had an opportunity yet to go out and check out that new craft cocktail bar and lounge, they're open Thursdays and Fridays from 3 until 9, Saturdays from noon until 6, and you can enjoy the full range of Whitmire's products. And it's such a cool place to have a party. If you got a corporate outing and you want to do some team building or you just want to get everybody out of the office, great way to do it is go to Whitmire's for a private event. They'll take care of you. And if you don't want to do all that, you can get a tour. And if you do the tour, you do any of this, you can try all their great products that they make right there in the distillery. A lot of stuff that you can't get in the stores is all right there. Plus, you get to meet some cool people. I'm telling you, if you haven't tried it yet, you need to. If you haven't been by there yet, swing by and check them out. Book your tour now. Visit them at 16711 Hollister or at whitmires.com. Houston's first distillery, Houston's best distillery, run by Blitzers, run by veterans. One of my favorite places, that's whitmires.com.
It's all year long. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. This segment with RJ Bell is brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com,
a GE factory approved warehouse outlet.
Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. And usually this is 5:30 on Friday, but RJ Bell was good enough to move up a day because so we can be bums. Yes. And drink all afternoon tomorrow and take the day off. Founder of pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. RJ, first off, happy holidays to you, my friend, and thank you for the gift pack you sent us.
Hey, how's the chocolate popcorn?
That's the truth.
That is the truth.
Good, man. It looks great. I think Fred finished off the jelly beans.
I've been killing the jelly beans, yeah. So
I tell you though, this week 15, or I guess week 16 and 17, fascinating, and you know, you guys very knowledgeable about the sports betting. Is there's a lot of potential correlations between certain events. And, you know, a topic, you know, most likely a lot of shows wouldn't want to talk about, but our listeners on this segment, I think, are up for it is, you know, let's look at the Colts, for example, in this game. You know, a lot of people are looking at this line and saying, oh, the Raiders only 3.5, look at their records. And it's true. You know, the Raiders, Vegas, not near as high on them as the public is, as their record would indicate, is, you know, warranted. So the record is deceiving in this case. But check this out if you're thinking of betting the Colts. There's 25 different scenarios. There's a website, I think it's Playoff Calculator or something like that, that talks about all the scenarios that, you know, this team will be eliminated. There's 25 different scenarios the Colts will be eliminated before this game is even played. And that, you know, a lot of them are very unlikely, but let me give you an example of one. If Tennessee wins at 1 o'clock Eastern and Miami wins at 1 o'clock Eastern, then the Colts are eliminated before their game even goes. So two simple, you know, not unlikely events there. Now, why am I talking about this? Two things. One, if you're handicapping a team that's playing after the early games that could be eliminated, you've got to account for that, right? You got to say, okay, there's a 20% chance or whatever it is that they're going to be eliminated. That would adjust the, you know, the line 4 points. And that's important, right? That's one. But this is what's even more interesting to me. Imagine if you sort of liked Tennessee to win the game and Miami to win the game. Wouldn't it be interesting to do a three-team parlay that would be really correlated? As in, if Tennessee and Miami wins, you would then have Oakland, let's say, on the spread, and you'd feel really good about that because maybe that line ends up being 6 or something, you know, instead of 3.5 because of those earlier wins that eliminated the Colts. And it's one thing to be eliminated all week and knowing that, but imagine if you feel like there's a great chance you won't be eliminated, then those two games happen that way, and all of a sudden emotionally, you know, 20 minutes before the game, it doesn't really mean anything. That can be a gut punch. And whenever you have these if-thens, one way to take advantage of it is these parlays that do have a strong correlation. And lastly, what a correlation means is if one event happens, the next event is most likely, is more likely to happen. So if Tennessee and Miami both win, it's more likely Oakland covers against Indianapolis. That's why there'd be a correlation.
Yeah, we were talking about that a little bit earlier with the Texans on the 1% chance that Jacksonville somehow wins. That game means something to them against Cincinnati, and that's the night game because they can wrap up the division. But if Tennessee wins, that game is essentially meaningless because this, the division's going to be decided a week from today.
That's a great example, right? Because when you have one trigger, one if-then, it's even cleaner, right? So in this case, if you do think – now, again, with Savage – being, you know, a new quarterback and the emotion around that, which I think is very positive for Houston, maybe it doesn't affect them quite as much. They'd want to keep the momentum going with Savage. But let's just say you thought, okay, if the, you know, if this game's meaningless, I want to fade Houston. Well, just, you know, put a two-teamer together with the one team winning the game that, you know, the Titans, as you mentioned, that would make that the case, and then put Houston's opponent in there, and lo and behold, you've got a really nice parlay if you think that first event is better than 50%.
Well, I have to ask you about this because we've been asked about it about 400 times today, and I said, well, just wait, we'll ask RJ at 5:30, but what is going on with this Giants line that has moved around so much here from Giants, what, -3 at one point to Philadelphia being favored, and now I'm seeing a pick'em on one site. What's going on with all this line movement?
Yeah, so I thought you were going to talk about how much Savage, was it an upgrade or a downgrade?
Well, what does Vegas see him as?
Well, what do you, I mean, obviously he played well, but what do you guys think?
I think he's basically the same guy. I don't think there should be much of a move in the line.
Yeah, Vegas actually considers it, now, we always talk about wise guys are not a union, they don't always agree. I talked to more than a few guys about this, and the span was, the low upgrade for Savage was 1.5 points, and the high was 2.5 points.
Wow.
So literally two, you could call the average, I think, upgrade for Savage. I tend to agree with that, and I think there's two reasons. One, I like that Savage is an unknown quantity, or quality, I guess. He's an unknown quality in that. The retreads, right? The guys have started in three places, the Josh McCowns of the world, but they never could stick. You know, in a way, they have a lower downside because you know they're at least probably this, you know, this good, you know, a little below average. But they don't have much upside either because once you've played and played and played, you know, magically at 31 or whatever, or with McCown 37, going to be better, right? But if you look at Savage, he could, you know, last game could have been a huge aberration. And he plays horribly. Yeah, there's a big downside. But, I mean, would it be shocking, and obviously it's unlikely, but would it be shocking that Savage in 3 years is the 10th best quarterback in the NFL?
Yes, it would be shocking.
Why?
Because he's not that good.
And this is from what, watching practice?
Not just that.
Because how good was Dak Prescott coming? Did you think he should have been a first-round pick?
No, I didn't think Dak Prescott should have been a first-round pick.
He'd go number one in the draft, right, if they redrafted?
No, I don't think he would.
Who would go number one?
I don't know. Probably not a quarterback if they had any sense.
Who would go to? I usually don't disagree with you guys. If they redrafted right now, who could possibly go over Dak?
Don't you guys on this one. You're on your own.
Maybe it's me. You don't think Zeke Elliott or Joey Bosa, somebody who's
Joey Bosa? Over, when's the last time a quarterback wasn't taken first?
Jadeveon Clowney.
All right. It's been a little while, right?
3 years.
Well, has it been three full drafts since then?
I think so.
Okay, and how about before that? Well, we can look at it. But what I'm saying is, listen, here's what I know. The very best defensive lineman in the league is worth a point and a half, all right? And the very best quarterback is worth 10, usually. So, and you've got, you know, 8, 9 quarterbacks worth over 6 points. So, if you think a guy is a franchise, now, if somehow you don't think, do you think Dak's not a franchise quarterback?
I don't know yet. I think Dak is surrounded by an extremely talented offense. Dak is not doing Aaron Rodgers stuff. I mean, Dak is, he's still running a pretty basic offense.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's going to be the best quarterback in the league like Rodgers has been and maybe still is. But I guess my question is this. Even if he's, you know, I think it's fair to say. I mean, let me ask you this. If there was an objective way to go 1-32, and I said during Dak's best year, he's going to be top 8, all right, over, under 8.5, would you go over or under his best year? Is he ever going to have a year that he's a top 8 quarterback?
He might be
top 8 this year.
Yeah, I think he's having that year this year.
He may be a top 8 quarterback.
So how much is a top 8 quarterback worth compared to an average backup, right? Tony Romo is not an average backup. You know, that's probably worth 6 points a game.
Yeah.
So there's no lineman that can come close to that ever. I mean, literally, if you had Joe Green combined with some other, you know, great lineman, and Reggie White is not worth – you know, more than 2 points.
Okay.
So I guess the point I made, you know, this has been an interesting conversation as we've gone round and round, but I think that the idea that we know how good these quarterbacks are until they get in, you know, into the games. Let me ask you this. You guys have insight that I certainly don't in Houston. Do you feel like if Osweiler was a rookie and Savage was a rookie or a third year each, whatever, they were on equal footing with the identical contract, I hear some people tell me Savage would have started the season.
He looked better in the preseason. Yeah, he certainly looked better in practice early. But the reality is that when you pay the guy that much, you got to get him a
chance. If money was off the table, I think that Tom Savage probably would have started the season.
Which makes us think, okay, it's not so much there's a backup because the starter's so bad. It was these outside influences that led them to go with Osweiler. And all of a sudden, the Savage is a guy that would have beat him out. You know, during that. So if you got a guy that would have beat out a pedigreed guy like Osweiler, and now he plays one great game, and the film guys I talked to said he was really zipping the ball. Sometimes you can, you know, have stats look good, but you really weren't physically impressive. So do you guys agree with that? Did the eye test look good last week? I didn't see the game.
He looked better.
He looked better than Brock Osweiler.
That's a hard thing for me to judge, is because Osweiler has been so bad. Then and Savage was visually better. He was significantly better getting them in and out of plays, throwing the ball downfield, much more accurate. But I don't know how much of that is comparable because I've been watching such garbage now since the beginning of the season.
And RJ, here's the other reality of things. If Tom Savage were really good, he would have gotten playing time over the Ryan Mallets and Case Keenums and Ryan Fitzpatrick's and all the trash can quarterbacks that have been coming through here. They're playing him now because they don't have an alternative. Brock Osweiler's been so bad, he left them with basically no choice.
Well, but see, when has he had an opportunity, though? I mean, he was a rookie his first year. His second year, he missed the entire season because he got hurt. He came in for one game his rookie year, got hurt last year. This year, you brought in Osweiler, and at one point, they're 3 games over .500. You can't make that change. Then he got a staph infection, was out for 3 weeks. It's really the first time he's had an opportunity to be put in a game.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, and that opens the debate about injury, right? Is it flu? It just seems like there's like LeBron James goes down, and I never have a thought he's hurt ever, right? And some guys go down, and they seem to be hurt every time they go down. So, you know, I the doctors seem to disagree on are people prone to injury and other people aren't. But, you know, obviously, if there is such a thing as being prone to injury, it would seem that Savage has that going against him at least. So, but last question on this for me, would you agree, right or wrongly, that there's a real emotional uplift with Houston because
absolutely.
Okay,
That is legitimate. And we do a show with Quentin Dimps, who's a safety for the Texans, and he basically said as much. You could see the team sort of, I mean, we saw it on watching the game. I mean, the team just sort of lit up. They looked like a different offense. Now, were they suddenly the Patriots? No. But they looked like they had some life to them, which they haven't in several weeks.
Which, let's not forget, is these are human beings. They're, you know, all of them are rich, many of them very rich. But I think there is a sense of, oh, my God, this guy's making, you know, seven times what I am. And look how bad he's playing. Like, to me, it's not just the quarterback's bad, but the idea that contract, you've got, you know, you always hear different guys that are inside, you know, GM types or locker room types that are now in the media saying oftentimes, you know, like with Tom Brady, him being willing not to be the number one paid guy. And that is unusual, that oftentimes the ego around that pecking order makes the locker room have some contention sometimes. You got to figure there was some of that.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
All right, real quickly, what was going on with that Giants line?
Oh, that one. Yeah. You know, I just think there's a lot of pessimism about the Giants. We did a video on this game. We actually released, we look pretty good here. We released yesterday, Philly plus 2.5. And, you know, I tweeted that out a little bit ago at RJ in Vegas to check out that free pick video. But, you know, Steve Fezzik did the pick, and his take was strength of schedule with the Giants. Now, I think that was, being questionable. I think that was legitimate 3 weeks ago. But, you know, when you play the Cowboys and the Lions and the Steelers 3 straight weeks and you go 2-1, you know, to me, that's strength of schedule is not as big of a deal. I also think what is this, why the market maybe is undervaluing the Giants is football sexiness. We talk about that occasionally, right? Touchdown passes, a guy on the cover of Sports Illustrated, whatever. Well, Eli's that guy for the Giants, right? Well, Eli hasn't played very well this year. He's certainly not an above-average quarterback this year. But the defense, we had one of our writers write an article today, said this is one of the biggest jumps in a defense he's ever seen in 1 year. And the Giants spent some money, big money, on guys without huge names that were rock solid, and they've worked out. Spagnuolo, oh, I said that. He, the defensive coordinator for the Giants, he last year was his first year, and they had so many injuries on defense, it was hard to get his whole scheme in there. And now in year two, the learning curve has been really positive. So I think the Giants might be a little underrated by Vegas, and that's the irony. The Vegas, you know, the market might think the Giants are, let's say the media thinks the Giants are the fifth or sixth best team in the league. I think that's probably fair, that in general that's what the average fan thinks right now. Vegas might think they're like 14, right? I think they're probably like maybe 10 or 9. So compared to the average fan, I think the Giants are probably overrated, but I think compared to Vegas right now, I think they might be underrated because Vegas thinks the Giants are a much lesser team than the public does.
That's RJ Bell, founder of pregame.com. You can follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. RJ, great stuff as always, my friend, and enjoy the holidays and look forward to talking to you again, sir.
Absolutely. I love when I get that on-the-ground insight from you guys. So good holiday, and talk to you soon.
All righty. So what the hell's going on with the signal, John?
No one knows.
I don't know. It went down for a few minutes, came back up, and then went down for another minute, and now it's back up.
Yeah, let me clarify. I wasn't saying that I don't think Dak Prescott would be a first-round pick. I think absolutely he would. What my point was, if Dak Prescott got picked number one overall by the Rams, are you 100% sure he'd be anything different than what Jared Goff is right now? Because I'm not.
I think he was... Yes, I think he'd be better than Jared Goff. I don't know what that translates into, whether
right.
it's four
you think,
wins
you think
or...
he'd be playing for in the Pro Bowl?
I don't know that he would be on that team, no.
I'm almost certain he wouldn't be.
I think he would be having a pretty good season, though.
Okay.
But if you look at that draft, Zeke probably goes number one.
I don't think anybody's taking a running back number one.
The entire draft.
I think Zeke has been the best rookie. The reason I said Joey Bosa, Joey Bosa's got eight sacks in 10 games. On a pretty mediocre defense.
Or Jalen Ramsey.
Jalen Ramsey's been good, too, on a bad team. I mean, the idea that a guy would go number one, and some, like if you think the translation, even if Zeke Elliott went number one to the Rams, look what Todd Gurley's doing. Do you think Zeke Elliott's significantly a better talent than Todd Gurley? I sure don't. And Todd Gurley's doing nothing. I mean, sometimes it's about the team you're on, and it's just the Rams are a disaster on offense.
All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This segment with RJ Bell was brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com.
Visit AcceptanceAppliance.com for all your home appliance needs.
Loaded, ready, rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN. Come celebrate the big Texas party with ESPN 97.5, SB Nation 1560, and Culture Map. Happening Thursday, February 2nd at the Silver Street Studios. We'll have big-time athletes, celebrities, all-you-can-eat-and-drink. That still reads to me like all-you-can-eat-and-drink celebrities. Refreshing beer, succulent barbecue, and smooth bourbon.
Eating celebrities is so hot right now.
Yeah, it is. You can buy your tickets at thebigtexasparty.com and come check it out. Get ready to celebrate the big game with Gal Media at the Big Texas Party. I would ask John to explain what was happening with the signal there, but he'll just say it's a long story.
Yeah.
And everybody always bitches at me on the text line like it's my fault. Well, I'm just as mad about it.
I get
it
those
as you
too. So
well, okay.
Yeah, I have no control over the signal.
Neither do I.
I actually do, and I intentionally make it crappy. That's my move.
It's kind of a dickweed move.
It really is, but that's how I keep you guys in check.
I see. I notice you only do it when you're not talking.
That's right.
Time it happens.
Yeah, of course.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
I think this is either a boss move or a dickweed move. I can't quite figure it out. But apparently there was a wedding going on, and a brawl erupted. You see that sometime, right?
It happens. Was it an ex-boyfriend of the bride?
It is. Mm. And you know what his move was?
Clothesline during the vows.
No, not that.
Oh.
Basically, he...
Stone Cold Stunner.
No.
Oh.
Better than that.
Whoa.
He took the
rock bottom?
He placed pictures on every table of the bride servicing him 2 days before the wedding.
Oh, no.
And, then, of course, the fight breaks out with him and the groom. I guess he was a little upset that she was marrying this guy.
Why would... Okay. Let's wrap our heads around this a little bit deeper.
Yeah.
Let's just say you're the girl who's banging your ex-boyfriend.
She wasn't banging. She was servicing.
That's what she has pictures of. I mean, it could have
right.
been.
There could have been more.
I'm sure there was. Why are you inviting him to the wedding? Don't you want, I mean, you want to keep those things separate, right?
Well, friend of the family, I'm sure. Friend of both.
Not of both.
Well, no.
There's no way.
I'm sure she didn't think he was going to go around and put pictures on every table.
Like, I don't know. John, let's say you're going to get married, right? Let's have this scenario. You're going to get married, but in the weeks leading up to your vows, your nuptials with Teresa, you've been sleeping with a chick you met on Tinder well before Teresa.
Okay, that would never happen.
I mean, but it's hypothetical. Let's just say that was happening. Would you invite your side piece to the wedding?
No, I wouldn't want her to invite her ex-boyfriend to the...
No!
Yeah.
Especially if you've been banging him. Like, if you're a reasonable person and you've got an ex that you've actually... You can be friends with and you can have a civil relationship with that doesn't involve intercourse, then okay, I'm all right with that. But if you're actively engaging in, you know, in this type of nonsense, you keep that clear of the wedding. That's one place where you don't want that to be. That's a bad call by her, honestly.
Well, the story's not clear whether or not she invited him or not, or whether the guy just showed up.
Oh, he may have crashed it?
Yeah, the story's not clear about it.
Okay.
So, but regardless.
Did they go through with the wedding?
Yeah, I think this is after the wedding. This is after the reception, which is worse because now.
Can you imagine?
The dude's paid all that money for the reception, and then this happens.
Ugh.
So, regardless, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Hey, guys, did you spend too much money on Christmas presents and now you're looking to recoup some of that? Well, how about this? How about if you could lower your car payment? Would that
help?
That'd
be awesome. That would really be great for me.
That would help, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Car dealers make most of their profit on your loan, and they mark up your rate. Sometimes,
why did they get that money and not me, Fred?
Well, and that's just it. They should not get that money. That
I agree
two
with you.
That $2,000 to $3,000 in interest you're paying on the loan is pure dealer profit. That should be in your pocket. And if you go to slashmypayments.com, the great team over at Ignition Financial is going to help you find the rate you deserve and lower your monthly payments and put that money back in your pocket.
Honestly, guys, if I would have gotten that extra money, like if the dealer would have jacked me on $2,000, I would have gotten you guys better Christmas presents, but I got jacked. So now I'm having to wait till this slash my payments goes through, and then I'll get you guys something better next year. Refinance your current auto loan at slashmypayments.com. It's simple, it's easy, and it takes just a couple minutes, and it's free for you. It doesn't cost you a dime. Slashmypayments.com, enter the promo code BLITZ at the top of the application, and you're on your way to more money. With approved credit, other exclusions and or restrictions may apply. That is slashmypayments.com.
Time is the right time to rock the night away.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Hold on to your butts.
On ESPN 97.5.